What's up, everybody? This is Casey Smith from Barstool Sports. This is episode 3 of High Haters, the podcast. Don't forget, we are live on Sirius XM Power 85 every Monday through Thursday from 10 to midnight Eastern, but we give you 2 podcasts a week that will be different. So today, we get into Chaps Takes New York. Most people want to go sightseeing when they come to the Big Apple. No, Chaps wants to go visit a cologne store in order to make his wife happy. We also talk about Tom Brady, speaking of wives, happy wife, happy life, and a deal he made with Giselle. And then we get to know a little bit of background story about how I ended up at Barstool. You don't want to miss it. Let's hit it, fellas.
Hi, Hira. How you doing? Long time no see. Yeah.
Hi, Hira. How you doing? I know that you're hating on me. The more that you hate on me, the more that I'll do my thing. Hi, Hira. How you doing? I know that you're hating on me. The more that you hate on me, the more that I'll do my thing. Hi,
Hira. All right, well, welcome back to another edition of High Haters. I'm still in New York. Casey's here. We're having a lovely time together doing the radio show. We've done 2. The second one was a little rough because we had a little meltdown over at the Sirius headquarters where our show shut off the last 20 minutes.
Captain Khan's actually broke our show.
He destroyed our show, and I think it was intentional. I think he's
sabotage.
Jealous. He's like nervous that ZBT is going to get shut down. It's not going to happen, Khans. Stop putting your army connections into use and shutting down Sirius.
He broke the whole thing. Luckily, it was at the last part of the show.
Yeah.
So it wasn't too horrible. But no, we've had 2 great episodes. We're going to have another one tonight and Thursday and just continuing on. But the calls have been even better than I imagined.
Yeah, the calls have been really, really good. I haven't asked you, though. One of the things that I want to talk to you about is your transition from Boston to New York. What do you feel like are some of the biggest differences of Boston and New York so far for you?
People in New York don't think that they're as great as people in Boston do. And that's not a knock on
Boston.
Wow,
that's shocking.
But, I mean, at least from the people that I've been around. Now, keep in mind, I've not worked in a New York sports TV station. I mean, everybody here pretty much loves different things. But in Boston, because they win in everything and they have for like forever, people think very highly of their sports teams and in turn think very highly of themselves, which is why Boston is the way it is. I haven't noticed that here as much.
Do you think that's because New York is more of a transient type of city where people like move in and out, whereas Boston's like a destination? You grew up here, you stay here, you're a Boston person.
Probably. Like if I sat down and talked to a bunch of Yankees fans, I'm sure I'd feel the exact same way. So I know they're out. Every team has that group, but in Boston, it's all 4 major sports are so successful. So there's that. And then I get told all the time when I go back to Boston, well, this is the Athens of America. We're just smarter than you guys up here. Coming from Texas, they really believe that.
Yeah, education, like rankings throughout the United States would probably dictate that that's most likely true.
Yeah, I love
like
Boston.
Massachusetts' education system is much better than Texas.
Yeah, I love Boston, and Boston loves Boston.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. But other than that, the weather has been equally as bad until this week. And, I mean, I don't know. Being in a big city is going to change everything because I lived outside, a little bit outside of Boston. But I like the East Coast way more than I thought I would. I never thought I'd like the East Coast.
For me, when I come up, because I still live in Texas and I come up here, so some of the things that I see are shocking, like the amount of perfume stores that I see.
Street vendors are street wild vendors.
And
New
I
York.
Love it, man. I wish we had it in Texas. If I could walk through my neighborhood in the outskirts of San Antonio and have Indian food from a truck or a hot dog from a truck or a burrito from a truck, it would be so wonderful. And also, I've been in the market for some new cologne. And
You've just been in the market for new cologne? You just wake up every day and you know, I need some new cologne.
Well, it kind of sucks because my wife told me I've had the same cologne for probably 3 years.
Okay.
Just the same bottle that I don't go through because
I
rarely use it. And I saved it for like special occasions, like if my wife and I are going out, just us two to go eat somewhere or like to church or something nicer, I'll wear the cologne. And I've had it forever. Well, about a week ago, she told me that she thinks my cologne stinks and she hates when I wear it. But I've been wearing it for 3 years and she didn't say anything.
So what snapped this time?
I don't know.
Was she mad at you already? Because that sounds like I'm mad at you for other things, and I'm just going to make fun of you.
We were getting ready to go out to dinner because I was going to come up here. So we had like some of our friends watch our kids, and we were going to go out to eat. And I was like, well, hold on. Let me go put on some clothes. She's like, can you actually not? I don't like the way it smells.
Damn.
And I was crushed.
Yeah, because you've been using it for 3 years.
Yeah. So I decided I was going home on Friday. I'll come home. I'll smell good. Because usually whenever you get off a plane, I don't know if you're like me, I turn into a sweaty animal on a plane.
I don't turn into a sweaty animal on a plane.
I feel like the dude in Men in Black who like puts on another person's body as a skin suit whenever I get off.
That is revolting.
Yeah. And so
The imagery I have.
I want to spray myself down, have like a wet wipe or whatever. But every third block, not even, every half block, there's a perfume store, a cologne store in Manhattan, everywhere.
It's a catch-22, though, because too much cologne or too much perfume is sometimes as bad as not. So these stores in New York make you think you just got to go buy a shitload of perfume or cologne all the time. But that's, you don't want to douse yourself with cologne before you get off the plane.
No, because then you smell like a middle schooler's nutsack with like Axe sprayed all over it.
That is not where I would have gone with that, but you know, here we are.
I mean, every single middle school or high school locker room smells the exact same way. They cover up their incredible amounts of hormonal BO with Axe body spray.
I'm going to shock you right now. I've never been in a middle school or a high school boys' locker room before.
That's surprising.
I've been in college and professional locker rooms because of the job that I had for many years. But I don't think I've
And I imagine I've been... it's the same way. I mean, Marine platoon room smells the same too. They all smell awful. So I knew that I was going to go home after being super sweaty on the plane. I went into the perfume shop, the cologne shop.
They're everywhere.
It was right when they opened. Like, I was going by.
You were standing outside.
Yeah, I was waiting. And so they pull open the little gate to keep all their valuables protected in the middle of the night. Because, I mean, it's cologne. It's expensive stuff. It's high quality shit. I go in there. I see, like, the Burberry kind. I see throwbacks from my high school days of, like, Jupe or Youp, I think it actually is, and Curve. Yeah.
That'll take you back.
Tommy Hilfiger.
Abercrombie and Fitch.
Abercrombie, Hollister. I saw all those different ones, and then I saw one that spoke to me because the title is part of who I am as a person, and that's 100% red because of my beard. And none of them were open. It's smell unseen buying cologne.
There's not the tester
bottles? No, there was no tester at all. And so I was like, well, how much is that one? And he's like, $9. And I thought,
$9.
Like, that's very reasonable.
That's cheap?
It's very cheap.
That would scare me a little bit.
Right next to the 100% red was 100% blue. And I said, how much is 100% blue? And he said, that's $11. And I was, that's too steep for me. I'll take the 100% red.
It's got to be under $10.
Yeah, so I came into the office.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that maybe your wife doesn't like your cologne because you're buying shitty cologne.
My one that I wear is Burberry.
Oh. Well, then never mind.
Yeah, and she actually bought it for me. That's why it was even more hurtful, because the last time I changed, I was wearing chrome. She's like, you're not 11 anymore. You shouldn't be wearing chrome Aquafina anymore.
So basically, she just doesn't like your scent.
And I've been asking her to get me new cologne, and she says, I don't care what you wear.
But she does care.
So it was even more hurtful whenever she told me that. She basically told me I smell like shit in
kinda
my mind.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Yeah. And she also told me she doesn't like my clothes.
Was this all at once?
Lots of things are coming out. I feel like this is going to be a therapy type of
session
today.
Yeah, this is when we're on KFC radio, I talked about roasting people's lives sometimes if this is necessary. This to me feels like maybe there's something your wife is not happy with you about, so she's just going to roast your life right now.
I feel like that's fair because I'm eating poorly to the point where I have a kidney stone, where I woke up in the middle of my hotel room last night at 6 o'clock and was grabbing my side, and I WebMD'd myself because I thought
don't ever WebMD yourself.
I had like appendicitis, but I don't.
Isn't your appendix
WebMD
out?
WebMD said it was either a kidney stone or gas.
And those are two very, very different spectrums.
I would feel so bad about myself if I was so gassy that I woke up in pain.
That would not be good, like but I'm it would a be a much better alternative.
Like I'm a colicky baby.
That would be much better than the alternative of you having kidney stones or having to go to the hospital. When I had appendicitis, I thought that I had eaten a bad mango. That's what I thought. Turns out my appendix was exploding inside my body.
Yeah, that makes you sound a lot tougher than me. Like you thought,
oh,
it was
no.
a bad mango, and you're really like about to die.
Well, yeah, it wasn't great, but I mean, I did not handle it well. I was the person that was way too old to be screaming in the ER waiting room, but I digress.
Well, I got the cologne. I got the 100%. I got the
100%. Appendicitis or not, you got the cologne.
I got the 100% red because I didn't want to smell bad. And it smells okay. The bottle broke, which was very disappointing, obviously.
What part of the bottle? Like the spray part?
The spray. Oh. But I fixed it right away because I'm a Marine. I can do that kind of
handyman
stuff.
Handyman shit.
Yeah, handyman. Fix my 100% red if it happens to break.
$9 cologne.
And I sprayed it on. It smells good. But then I wrote a blog about it, and people have been tweeting me that all those stores use counterfeit perfume.
For sure.
If I don't have the legit 100% red, I'm going to be pissed. And then I look closer at the bottle. It's like halfway full. So I feel like I got gypped in that. And people said that there's been reports that those perfume shops fill their bottles with urine. And antifreeze. Not great.
No, and that's not ideal, no.
I don't want to spray my face with piss.
that's bottled as 100% red. I mean, your first indication that it should be something you shouldn't buy, to be honest, is $9 cologne. Because...
That's fair.
It's fair. Now, I'm not saying you have to go buy a $500 bottle of cologne because that's too bougie. But anytime you have cosmetics that's less than $10 and it's supposed to be legit, it's probably not going to be.
That's fair, too.
So cologne and perfume is something that you have to spend a little bit more money on. However, the idea that they could be not only using counterfeit stuff, they could be filling it with antifreeze.
Or urine.
That's a problem.
You're in trouble.
So here... What a dad joke. Yeah. What a dad joke. I can't even be mad about that. What a dad joke. What's worse? Getting sprayed in the face with your urine cologne or your antifreeze cologne? Because your antifreeze...
I think riding on a jet ski, getting sprayed by your ex-boyfriend's pee.
We're not going there. No. There's only some people that we roast their lives. Not all of them. Whatever. Getting sprayed in the face with antifreeze sounds worse because it's going to kill you. But if you do die, I need to know where that cologne store is so I can sue them. If you die from poisoning of antifreeze cologne in your face, which why are you spraying cologne in your face, by the way?
I don't know. I've always wanted to be...
I should have asked that an hour ago.
I feel like I always want to be Pretty Woman whenever I'm in a fancy spot where I want to spray the cologne up into the air and just walk through it like a little angel.
So you're not just spraying it on your face?
No, I'm not spraying it. Okay. I'm just like
you're
walking
misting it
through the cloud.
You're misting it. Okay, that makes me feel a little bit better.
Smooth transition to some sports news.
Oh, we like smooth transitions.
That being said, you told me a story about Giselle and Tom having a little bit of drama.
Yeah, so this is going to shock you, but people are wondering when Tom Brady is going to retire from football.
People are speaking about that.
People have been speaking about it, yes. And so when he turned 40 last year, everybody was waiting for the proverbial cliff for him to fall off of it. He didn't. Max Kellerman's still pissed because Tom Brady has not fallen off this cliff. But then Giselle came out, was it last summer, and she said Tom gets concussions, and he's had multiple concussions, and it turned into a whole thing. So all year... The question was, especially in Boston, is Giselle going to be the reason that Tom Brady eventually retires? Because I'm not married, but I've been told by my parents, happy wife is a happy life.
Yes.
You can attest to that.
Can't confirm.
So
I got a new cologne.
Exactly. Because she doesn't want you to smell bad.
She's probably going to hate the 100% red.
Well, especially if it's antifreeze.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a good look.
Yeah.
But I got an alert an hour ago from CBS Sports that said Tom Brady says he negotiated with his wife to play at least 2 more years. And the word negotiated doesn't seem weird when it's a marriage because I feel like there's a lot of negotiating that goes on.
Tons of negotiation.
But this is a hot topic because I feel like Tom Brady wants to play until his arms fall off.
Mm-hmm.
And now his wife has given him 2 more years.
Well, I feel like people are going to shit on Giselle because she wants her husband to stop playing. It's a violent game.
There's nothing wrong with her wanting that.
Right. And the comparison that I have is my wife wanted me to get out of the Marines, too. Like, I loved being a Marine. Everything about it was my identity for years of who I was as a person. And she was like, I don't want you to go to a place that you're going to deploy a lot. I don't want you to go to a place here. So I chose a job to go teach at the school. So we negotiated that I would stay in for an additional 3 or 4 years and just go to a place where I wasn't going to deploy all the time. Being a Marine was my passion. If she would have said unequivocally, you can't be a Marine anymore, I want you to get out, our relationship would be different. And I feel like that's the same thing with Giselle and Tom. If she says, you have to give up this thing that you love right now, their marriage isn't good anyways.
Yeah, and I mean, to be fair, being in the Marines versus playing football is different. I would picture it differently if my husband was getting deployed somewhere fighting for his life.
Well, and I was also worried I didn't have a skill set. Like, I didn't know what I was going to do after, except for being a dog handler. I didn't know what else I would do. They are not in a financial position where they're like that. They're rich as fuck. It's all about passion for him, which is a stronger argument, I think, because he's passionate about it.
Yeah, I think that anytime you see an ultimatum put on the table for anything in life, and I, again, not married, so me giving advice on this is just moot because I don't know how that feels. But even in serious relationships, if you say to somebody, it's either me or your passion, or me or that job, or me or that move, that if you stay with the person,
you're either jerking off or you're
or
we're breaking up. Stop jerking off while I'm laying here.
Exactly. I mean, case in point, that guy from the last episode. I mean, some things are just not worth fighting about. However, I would feel like if Giselle said to Tom Brady, okay, you have to quit football. And he did because he's in love with her. It's his wife. It's the mother of some of his children. That he'd end up resenting her. And he's the greatest of all time at what he does. He's still playing at a very high level. So if he quit football, I feel like it would be safe to say it's because Giselle didn't want him to play anymore, which is a fair assessment. However, the guy has been on record a million times saying he wants to play till at least he's 45.
Yeah, and I think that she knows that. 2 years, I feel, is about right for where he needs to be.
Yeah, so he turns 41 this year, so he'd be 43.
I'm not a Pats fan, but I would hate to see him fall off a cliff and end up like Favre in his last couple years, like last 2 years, where you're just like, you're not the same player, dude. Like, just
that's the way I felt about Tiger, to be honest. Now
and
he's
Peyton
making
Manning.
Tiger has made a little bit of a comeback when you can see that he's going to be competitive. But I grew up loving Tiger, watching Tiger with my dad, and then to see him struggle to even make cuts, I was like, okay, I want you to retire at your best. And I understand that that's not always going to be able to happen, but you don't want to watch your favorite athlete struggle to do what they've done so well. But Tom Brady's not near that. There's not a blueprint with him right now of when he's going to stop, because he's not human. He's defying time right now. But because Giselle is who she is, this storyline keeps coming up, and now we're getting alerts like Tom Brady could probably play until he's 45. We don't know.
I mean, I think he will. I think he will play. What is he? He's 41, 42
He's
now?
40.
Oh, he's 40.
Yeah.
45. That's 5 more years is pushing it.
But that's what he wants. I don't know.
And
we'll see.
He only eats like beets and fucking grass. So.
Avocado ice cream. Yeah. He doesn't eat tomatoes.
He's a goddamn specimen. He doesn't eat tomatoes. Do you eat tomatoes?
Does he?
Yeah.
Avocado.
Oh, yeah. Enjoy your heirlooms while Tom Brady's going to be just fucking fine.
Tomatoes are no. Tomatoes are a no-no.
If I was him, I would retire just so I can eat more stuff.
I don't think he will, though. I think that he is, because then he has his pliability stuff. When he retires from football, TB12 and the whole TB12 method will continue. So I don't think that he'll just all of a sudden get fat or something.
No, probably not.
But then you hear the stories of him being a big beer chugger and like how good he is at it. He did it on a late night show pretty recently.
And it was pretty damn impressive.
So maybe he would just kind of go full.
Colbert show, wasn't it? I think.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, he dated Tara Reid at one point. You know he was not taking care of his body when he was dating Tara Reid.
Tara Reid, though, she was prime time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But they were not sitting at home eating avocado ice cream together.
Oh, no, they were probably eating, like, Coke and shit.
Yeah. But, I mean, it, as a Patriots, as somebody who covered the Patriots and being around Patriots fans all the time, Tom Brady, no matter what he says, what he does, is always going to be in the news. So now that you know he's going to play and Giselle has given him 2 more years, Patriots fans are probably like, okay, good. Happy wife, happy life. We've got him until he's at least 43.
And that's what everybody would want. Whenever we started the show, the little promo, we said that we were going to start our little backstories. So let's start with you, Casey. Let's start with you. You told me a story about whenever you were 7 years old, right?
I think it was younger than that, but I think 7 is when I start to remember.
So you were 7 years old, and you knew that you wanted to get into broadcasting.
Did you ever see Home Alone?
Yes.
Home Alone 2?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay, so you remember the Talk Boys?
Yeah.
So I don't remember exactly how old I was when that came out. I might have been a little bit younger, but my sister and I both
I'm
got...
the king of the cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, those things were legit, too, because you could tape yourself talking for hours and nobody would care, but you thought people cared about it. So I would...
Kind of like having a podcast.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Except that the cassette tapes just went nowhere.
Nowhere, yeah.
At least this is dispersed to the people.
Right.
I got a Talk Boy. And I would just record myself talking about football. Before I had a Talk Boy, I would carry around a hairbrush. And my parents have pictures of me. We grew up Aggies. My dad went to A&M. So that was, I mean, in my blood, no other choice. So I'm wearing all these A&M football shirts, Dallas Cowboys stuff, whatever. And I just wanted to talk about football. Then I started playing basketball and fell in love with that sport. So as I got older, I realized I'm not good at anything else but understanding sports. And I know people roll their eyes like, oh, the girl trying to understand it. But that's all I cared about when I was little. And the only reason that I couldn't play the sports that I loved is because girls couldn't play football. And I don't know, I still think that's an issue. Not that I should have been playing anyways, but instead of playing it, I just learned it. So from a very young age, I knew that I wanted to be a sports broadcaster. That was the heyday of ESPN too. SportsCenter was massive. So you fast forward to eighth grade graduation, which I don't know, is eighth grade graduation normal? It is normal,
no,
Bryn?
I don't think...
It was, I mean, it was a big deal.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess you do anytime you leave like a grade school or whatever, anytime you transition to a new school. So it was going eighth to ninth.
It was eighth to ninth, but it was same school.
Yeah, but I feel like the public schools would do that, but you went to private school, so they didn't.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
So they wanted to give you the same experience.
Okay. So I look back and I'm like, well, eighth grade graduation, that's bizarre. But we filled out these about us and your favorite memories, favorite book, best teacher, whatever. But on there it was in 15 years, I will be dot, dot, dot. And I put, I will be an ESPN sports broadcaster and I'll be married with two kids. Now, 15 years from that graduation, I was working for ESPN as a sideline reporter and had decided I don't want to have kids, and I didn't necessarily know if I want to get married, so I was one for two.
So you're kind of a failure.
Kind of a failure, 50%, yeah. Batting 500. But that's how long I wanted to do this. And when I was at ESPN, it was a great experience for me. Some of my best friends were there. But the one thing that I learned was that sideline reporting wasn't necessarily where I saw my career going, so I kind of went back to the drawing board, but that was something I wanted to do my entire life. And I think Erin Andrews kind of played into that as I got older as well, because she was so different than so many other people doing it. And so she was kind of the first one to break into that mold. And I made sure that I got there. And then here I am now. So
you
took
went
a turn.
From ESPN and then you decided to go to Boston, right? You went from...
So there was a six-month period in between. So I started actually with Fox Sports covering the NBA in Atlanta. And from that job, I got my job with the SEC Network and ESPN, and I was there for 2 years. And when that contract went up, I'd been telling my agent, like, I understand it's ESPN. There were some other things going on behind the scenes that I didn't necessarily like, wasn't being treated as well in some forms or fashions. But I said, I'm not talking enough. And I know that's super selfish to say, but I would spend all of this time all week preparing. And then I'd have a 30-second hit or an interview, which are important parts of the game. But if you mess up one thing, then the sideline reporter is you're apathetic to it. Mm. People don't have super hardcore opinions. And if you mess up, you're bad. If you don't mess up, you're good. And then it's about your looks. At least it was for me. The sideline reporters who have really made it in their careers are so phenomenal at what they do. That's the reason you can name those people. I was kind of a dime a dozen because I was young and I just knew that it wasn't my personality. I knew I wasn't that great at it. I was good enough to be at ESPN, but not great at it like some of these women are. So I actually decided to start my own radio show. People thought I was nuts. Can't believe you're going to do this. You're going to just jump off a ledge. And I started with SB Nation and a company I worked for in College Station, Texags. And for 6 months, I talked about football with one of my girlfriends who's also, she's a track and field Olympian, by the way. Okay. Casual. She's an Olympian. But we were broadcast nationally, and I put that in air quotes because it was syndicated through SB Nation, different places in the country. But we just talked about football and talked about basketball and whatever else the way I wanted to see my career going, and that's how NBC Sports found me to move me to Boston. So it took kind of taking a risk on myself, saying, okay, I've been with ESPN, I've done the sideline thing, it's not for me, let's see if this is for me. And then I moved to Boston, was on a 3 hour a night television show. There was four of us. I was the only girl.
So not talking at all and being fed up with talking to talking a ton.
To a ton. And 3 hours a night on television is massively different than radio, too, because you have the elements. You have to be looking different. I mean, I could be sitting here in yoga pants, which I will do 9 times out of 10 if I know people aren't going to be seeing me. But in a market like Boston that's so hardcore, like I mentioned.
And they know if you fuck up.
Oh, yeah. And
You drop a stat, you say 35 points instead of 28 points.
They're all over you. They're all over you. And so when I did that, I knew the risk I was taking, because it wasn't just taking the risk on myself as, okay, I want to be a commentator or an analyst. It was, I'm going to go to the hardest market in the country to do it. And that's how Dave found me. So here I am sitting at Barstool. But to go from sideline reporting at one of the most conservative networks and how everything is super strict, also being diagnosed with cancer in that period of time, to now fast forward to being at Barstool and getting to say whatever I want and my true personality comes out, it's a wild ride. But it's everything that I hoped for when I decided that I wanted to do this when I was a little kid, is having a voice and being able to make a difference somewhere, somehow.
Yeah, I think one of the best questions that I got whenever I said that we were going to do a little background episode was, do you feel like if you talk about politics or you talk about sports or you talk about anything like that, does it hinder you? And my answer is always no. I think that's the biggest benefit of being at a place like Barstool, is that you can be whatever you want. Because everywhere else that you work in media, there's going to be like editorialization of what you're doing. Here, you can say whatever you want, and nobody will really say anything unless it's insanely racist or it's insanely sexist or something
like
that.
Yeah, or it's bad.
Or it's bad and not funny. You can say, or if you attack the stoolies, like that's basically line.
Don't do that.
You can talk about whatever you want. Like, since you've been here day one, has anybody ever said, you've got to blog about this, you've got to talk about that, you got to talk about this? When we said that we wanted to have a radio show, nobody even asked us what it was going to be about. We just said it's going to be about Casey, it's going to be about chaps and what we think about shit.
And whatever we want to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Because I got put in a box at ESPN where this is how what you fit. This is how old you are. This is what you look like. This is what your skill set is. And that's not necessarily always a bad thing, but for me it was, because that's not what I was really good at. Then you come to Barstool and it's like sink or swim. Figure your shit out. And I think that's one of the biggest things for me, is learning over the last month and a half that it's going to take a little bit for people to see your personality. It's going to take a little bit for people to say, okay, that was network television Casey Smith. This is Barstool Casey Smith. But that's everybody's dream, is to be able to say what you are actually thinking and show your personality in a way that nowhere else lets you do it. And why would you not want to be a part of that? It's not everything is for you. Not every single thing that's on this website is going to be for everybody. There are some things on the website I'm like, yeah, it's not for me. I just don't consume it. But I have the opportunity to be me 100%. And why would you not want to do that?
And I think that's a cool transition for you, from going from just about sports to being able to talk about your life, what you think is funny, like pop culture stuff, romance, relationship. You can't do that at NBC Sports. Like, you can't do that. But you could do it here. And I think it's so freeing as a creative person to be able to have that creative control over your content.
The weird thing to me that I have seen, and most stoolies have been super supportive of anybody that comes in new, and I understand it's very different. You understand that too, for the different types of hires that are being made. But what I think is cool that Dave and Erica are doing right now is finding people from all different paths that are saying, we still want to join Barstool. So for me, I am coming from television where it has to be polished, where things, you know, they get off the rails on a 3-hour show. There's a lot of arguing, a lot of yelling, but it still is network television, saying, okay, I'm going to bring that and I'm going to make that a part of Barstool as well. Or you're going to come from the Marines and you're going to take everything that you learned and your Purple Heart and all of those experiences and come into Barstool and make that about Barstool, or comedians or whatever. That's what makes this place so different, because it's not everybody has to fit the same box. So for the stoolies that don't accept that, it's weird to me. It might not be what you're used to, but you should accept people wanting to join Barstool.
And I could see it if they were upset if you just came in like, this is Casey Smith with your weekend update.
ESPN.
We are going to talk about the University of UConn's football team. Like, of course nobody gives a fuck about that. But
like, that sounded like Big Cat Sports updates.
I've been doing it in my head all day.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So that's basically your story and how you got here. And I think next time we'll go into mine. But before we go, I think that whenever people heard you say that you had cancer, I feel like you can't just leave that out in the open.
Yeah, that's not something you can just drop into people, right? Like, it's in my Twitter bio and it's in my Instagram bio. And then people hear me saying, they're like, well, wait a minute, what's the rest of the story? I am in remission. I had melanoma remission for 4.5 years, 5 years in November. So big year for me. My story is nuts, and I'm not going to go into it completely on this because I could sit here and talk about it for 5 years. But the way my cancer was spotted was by a complete stranger at an Ole Miss football game, and it was because I had a birthmark on my back that looked strange to this person. And I had no idea that it was happening, and by the time I got to the dermatologist, it had started to spread all over my body. And they were pretty sure that it was going to be in my lymph nodes, which is where skin cancer gets the most deadly, because it spread so fast. But after my last surgery, my lymph nodes came back clean, which is amazing, because that means you're done with that treatment. So right now we're still going. Every time I go back, they're like, this looks weird. But my biggest thing is go get checked. Go to the dermatologist. And I'm not trying to sound like I'm lecturing. I had no idea. And if it wasn't for a stranger who literally saved my life, I probably wouldn't be alive right now. So go get checked. Use this as your guardian angel But yeah, cancer survivor, melanoma, 4.5 years.
Wow, incredible.
Hey, I'm here at Barstool now, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it was spotted for a reason. And so if anybody listens to anything I says, I know there are a lot of people out there like, TV, whatever. Cancer survivor first. Go get checked. Tell the people around you to get checked because it is massively important. And then if you have a cancer story, reach out to me, Casey at Barstool Sports. I'd love to talk to you.
There we go. All right, come back on Tuesday. We'll get into my story and probably some other weird shit too.
Your story, by the way, is like a TV show to me. Because
yeah,
you've worn so many different hats
many
in
hats.
Your life. Like, I knew from day one what I wanted to do, and here I am. You have, it's an awesome roller coaster of many hats.
There we go. And we'll talk about that on Tuesday. We want you back.